What do you say we get this party started?
Let's get it started.
Sports doesn't stop at night. Neither do we.
This is Chris Thomas Tonight
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas Turtle taking you up until the top of the hour. Let's head out to the waitfor.com hotline and welcome in our good buddy Mark Raimondi, covers the Falcons for ESPN. Mark, obviously we saw Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts have monster games on Thursday, but I feel like if you've been watching closely the last couple of weeks, you could see that they were both on track to have this sort of blow-up game.
Yeah, I think Kirk Cousins has – look, it's not easy for a quarterback to kind of get put into an offense that was not necessarily designed for him. And it's taken him a couple weeks, and he hasn't played bad in the last few weeks. But he broke out, as he always seems to do against the Bucs for whatever reason. And Kyle Pitts as well. Like you said, Kyle Pitts had been playing quite well since Drake London has gone down, and he's been kind of the number one target, as Zach Robinson said last week. And he broke out with one of the greatest performances by a tight end in NFL history, Turtle. I mean, that is quite the statement, but it's true.
A couple of foresight questions here. If Pitts does finish the season the way he's been playing the last couple of weeks, how much consideration does the team have to give to franchise tagging him?
I think Kyle Pitts is so interesting to me because, as you know, he's probably the most maligned player on the Falcons over the last 5 years. He is the guy that gets criticized the most. And it's mostly because he was drafted fourth overall, and his rookie season, he was lights out, over 1,000 yards, Pro Bowl, the whole thing. And he has not come even close to that. But to be honest, man, Kyle Pitts has still been a plus top 10, sometimes, and this year, top 5, tight end in the NFL. So I think you have to at least, I mean, you got to see what the price tag might be. And I know the franchise tag might be a little bit higher than you'd want to pay Kyle Pitts, maybe, but maybe not. You know, maybe that is still there. Maybe that capability for him becoming that kind of prime time player is still there because he showed it on Thursday, you know, so that's in him somewhere. And if he can unlock that more consistently, this is a game-breaking guy. You know, this is a guy that's, you know, maybe the best tight end outside of a Brock Bowers, you know, in the league.
Yeah, I looked it up during the show. It's going to be around 17-ish million for the franchise tag, which is a lot for a guy, you know, because guys like Mark Andrews and Kelsey and all those guys, they're around 19, and then Hockenson is 17. So it's going to be a big pill to swallow. Speaking of, Kirk Cousins' cap is $57 million for next year. They could save $27 million if they cut him. He'll only have a $30 million dead cap hit. But, Mark, sort of the same line of questioning here. If Kirk Cousins over the next 3 weeks looks like he did last weekend, is there a chance with Penix, you know, the timeline supposedly being 9 months, but we don't really know, that they would swallow that pill?
I just can't imagine that they would take Kirk Cousins back next year with a $57 million cap hit or whatever it is. I mean, that just seems like, unless Kirk Cousins is willing to restructure, and frankly, why would he, right? I mean, I don't think he feels like the franchise has done him any favors over the last couple of years. I don't think there are like hard feelings at the surface necessarily, but certainly there has been some drama, right, between him and the franchise. So I don't know if he would be willing to do that. And that's premium money for a guy that he looked like a premium quarterback on Thursday, but has not for the most part over the last, you know, two seasons. So I'm not sure about that. I still think it's most likely they cut him and they at least save some cap room. They will have to eat the dead cap, of course, but they're going to need cap room in the offseason. They have too many holes to go into an offseason with, you know, a quarterback that is not going to be their guy long term for $57 million or whatever it is.
How surprised are you that Raheem Morris decided to hang on to Marquise Williams for the rest of the year?
Not entirely surprised, honestly, because there's nothing. I mean, they can't make playoffs. They can't have a winning season. So all that is out the window. and you still need a staff. You still need a coaching staff. And, you know, Marquise Williams has been a good special teams coach over the years. It's not a good year for the Falcons special teams. It might be the worst special teams in the entire NFL. I don't think that's hyperbole. I think it's been that bad. But if they were close to 500, Turtle, or if they were, you know, even a little bit under 500 and still have the chance to get a playoff berth in a NFC and a pretty mediocre NFC South, if we're being honest, then maybe, you know, I could say, hey, you know, let's, you know, they should make some changes to light a fire, you know, but what's the point, you know, to let them go now or at the end of the season, if that's what you want to do, if that's what you want to do, you know, what's the point to do it now?
Sure. And we're talking to Mark Raimondi, does a great job covering the Dirty Birds every day for ESPN. Make sure you check him out there. The 800-pound gorilla in the room is what Raheem Morris said last week, Mark, as I'm sure you covered extensively, that Arthur Blank, quote, 100% backing of our head coach. What did you make of those comments, and do you think it applies to a decision that could be made this offseason, or was that a in-the-moment sentiment from the head coach?
My feeling based on how Raheem Morris followed those words up is that he didn't necessarily mean it in the way that people are taking it. I think he meant more, because if you listen to what he said after the fact, I think he meant more, it has Arthur Blank been a supportive owner as far as working with the coaching staff and the front office to give them the resources that they need. I think that was the answer that he gave. Yes, he said he's been in 100% support. Support isn't the issue. So I didn't take it as him saying, yeah, I have a vote of confidence going into 2026. I did not take it that way at all. So I think that was kind of blown out of proportion, which sometimes these things are. But that's kind of how I took it.
Do you think the Drake London situation is more abundance of caution, or is there a chance for any worry about something long term?
I don't think there's a chance. I don't think they're worried about anything long term. I do think it's like, again, you know, the season is over. This is a guy that, you know, you want for as long as you can possibly have him. He's your stud wide receiver. He really looked like before he went down that he was becoming a top 10, top 7, top 8 type of receiver in the NFL. And you don't want to mess around with a knee. You know, this was something else. Maybe you bring him back, but I don't think you want to mess around with the knee and then something happens and then all of a sudden he's out for an extended period of time. I have no problem with that. And I know, you know, knowing Drake London a little bit, you know, over the last couple of years since I've covered the team, he is not a guy that wants to be on the sidelines. He wants to be out there very badly. He is an incredible competitor. So I think it's probably cooler heads prevailing right now as far as that goes.
When you look at the state of the defense, specifically the defensive line, there's been a lot of chatter about the need for a true nose guard, nose tackle, a Derrick Brown, a Vita Vea type. Do you feel like that's something that the defensive front needs? Because they have certainly given up, you know, big games to McCaffrey and Taylor, and a lot of that was right up the gut.
I do think that they will be in the market for a big fella in the middle, a nose tackle. But I don't think it's a very high priority item. I think, you know, a guy like Lakeil London, though maybe undersized as far as what we're talking about, has played pretty well this year. And Sam Roberts was playing all right also before he went down with an injury. So I don't think it's a high priority. I think it could be maybe a late round draft pick or maybe a veteran. I think maybe like, and maybe not the best example, like a guy like Morgan Fox they brought in last year. He's not really a traditional nose tackle, but, you know, maybe like a lower price veteran that they think still has something left that can give them that in the middle. Like Eddie Goldman, last season, that's a really good example. Like a guy kind of off the scrap heap, so to speak, that could fill that role. But I do think that, with Jeff Ulbrich's offense, defense, and what Nate Oli is also doing on the line, it's an attack front. It's very much about pressuring the quarterback, and they have been very successful at that. So I think that you do probably need a big guy to rotate in, you know, for those early downs, for those running downs. But I don't think it's the most. I think put it this way, Turtle. I think the Falcons have a list of priorities that are higher than that.
Before I let you go, obviously we've seen now the success of James Pierce Jr., 6 straight sacks, in six straight games for a total of 8 on the season. Him and Walker have been sort of like a dynamic duo coming off the edge. But there are some Falcons fans, and I hear from them, Mark, that are still droning about not having a first-round pick. But it's hard to argue considering how good Pierce has been.
Yeah, I mean, I think that a lot of that sentiment, honestly, is because if you're a fan, it's like, oh, the team isn't any good. What do we have to look forward to? Oh, well, you know, if we're not any good, we're going to get a high first round pick, because that's kind of the season that we're in, right? If the games really don't matter that much as far as making the playoffs, you want that big first round pick, and they're not going to get that. And I think that's part of it. It's like, I think that's just more of a thing for that the fans are thinking about rather than the front office. I can't imagine that they're not very happy with that selection, because the NFL draft is a gamble. Every pick, no matter if you're picking number one or you're picking, you know, number 32 in the first round, it's all a gamble. And there's no gamble right now. You have Walker and Pierce, and they are the best two. I mean, as far as the rookie duo, they're the best. You know, they're the best. They have, you know, 8 sacks and 5.5 sacks. I mean, if you would have told any Falcons fan that at the beginning of this season, hey, James Pierce Jr. is going to have 8 sacks with 3 games left to play, and Jalen Walker is going to have 5.5 and done a whole bunch of other good stuff as well, I think that you would sign up for that in a heartbeat. So a lot of that is kind of revisionist and just kind of looking forward to the draft, but you have to be happy with what those guys are right now and what they could possibly be for a long period of time. I mean, we're talking about 2 core pieces on a defense that needed that those characteristics, and they've got it.
Real quick, does Raheem Morris get a 3rd year?
You know what? I don't think that has even been decided yet. I think there's 3 games left, and I think that if the Falcons show the kind of fight they showed on Thursday night, and they did. I mean, that was a team that very easily could have folded up down 28-14, right? In the fourth quarter, I mean, the Bijan fumble, that really wasn't a fumble, if we're being honest, right? That was an incomplete pass. But, I mean, that's a team that could have easily just packed it up and, you know, said, all right, we'll see you next week. After a short week, too. But they didn't, man. They didn't. And that's got to show you something. You know, say what you will, but they're still playing hard. Yeah, they made 19, penalties. That was not good. But they also fought, you know, their you-know-what's off. And I think that's a good sign. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee that Raheem Morris, you know, comes back next year. But I think if there's more signs like that in the next 3 games, if they win 1-2, I think it's possible. I think that maybe a couple weeks ago it was improbable. But now I think it's still out there. I don't think the decision has been made yet.
You know what? I forgot, and I'm glad I remembered just at the end of the interview here. Cena's last match. Your thoughts?
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to watch it later on. And I don't know if you saw, but it was funny. Last week, I was talking to Bijan Robinson in the locker room, just having a casual conversation with him. And, he's a great guy. And he was a big WWE fan. Obviously, I'm a big WWE guy. So we were talking a little bit about it. And I was like, oh, you know, it's John Cena's last match. And he told me his favorite was Shawn Michaels growing up. But he said that Cena, he's the GOAT. He believes that Cena is the greatest of all time. I tweeted that, Turtle. And you know what? WWE saw my tweet. And they sent Bijan Robinson a box of John Cena last match merchandise. And he received it on Wednesday before they flew out to Tampa on Wednesday night.
You didn't get one? What is this?
How cool
nonsense?
Is that?
Yeah, that's great, but they didn't hook you up for being the conduit to
no,
the situation?
That's fine. Give it to the guys. But I did make sure, because Xavier Watts, another, talking about rookies, another excellent Falcons rookie, he grew up a massive John Cena fan. Like, I'm talking about, he had the whole outfit. He had the armband, the hat, the whole deal. And I told WWE, hey, please make sure, and I told the Falcons, please make sure you leave a shirt for Xavier Watts at least. And he did get one on Wednesday too. So it's a nice little story in a weird season.
Yeah, well, that's certainly something that could bring a smile to those guys' faces. All right, Mark, appreciate the time as always. We'll chat soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, that is Mark Raimondi there, ESPN. When we get back, Josh has some true-false questions. We'll also take a couple more of your calls. If you're on hold, stay there. You're up first, 404-726-0929, as we close out a Shorty Saturday show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.